Queensland. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, yeah.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Looking at the current population we have now, as we say, ticking over the 25 million mark, just how much are we actually struggling to accommodate this many people?
Well, I think we're struggling in terms of infrastructure in particular. So that's transport infrastructure, roads and rail and so forth. And the problem is that we're really not putting enough money into infrastructure. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, but there's still much more that's needed. And the problem is that it's not always the right kind of infrastructure. So we're putting in Sydney and Melbourne a lot of motorways, for example, and not really enough into public transport. And there are all sorts of reasons for that, but basically the state governments are short of money so that toll roads, motorways can be funded and public transport's more difficult.
Indeed. I mean, we've been waiting on that high-speed rail corridor between, you know, Newcastle or Brisbane and Sydney for quite a long while now, or the high-speed between Sydney and Melbourne as well. How can we actually make regional centres a little bit more attractive, maybe just more of a viable option for potential residents?
I think that's really difficult, you know, because the way that the economy is going, it's sort of going towards knowledge jobs and so forth, and the knowledge jobs really need to be in big centres where you know, you've got a sort of base of skilled labour and enough people who can exchange knowledge and develop sort of knowledge-based industries. And for the small centres, that's pretty difficult. So there's probably a bit of scope for provincial centres, you know, with a reasonable size population like Newcastle or Geelong and so on, close to the big cities where you know, there's sort of reasonable contact back with the big city, and they, I think they're worth developing. But for most centres, I think the knowledge economy means that basically they're not going to have enough jobs going into the future, and I think we need to concentrate on, you know, the big places where there's a bit of gravity and a bit of sort of size of base that can attract the knowledge jobs. You know, places like Sunshine Coast and Canberra, and as I said in my article in The Conversation this week, even Adelaide, which is crying out for people, over a million people, and, you know, it'd be a perfect place to put a lot of extra people, I think.
Well, indeed. One other example, the Chief Minister for the Northern Territory, Michael Gunner, recently called on the federal government to turn Darwin into a manufacturing hub in order to bring more people to the NT. Is this really viable for long-term settling, or do we really need to be thinking about the economy, these knowledge areas, and what they require as opposed to manufacturing?
Well, I think you can have knowledge-based manufacturing. So a lot of the manufacturing that's still around in places like Germany and America and so forth has got a lot of sort of knowledge input and not that many jobs, but the jobs are very high quality and they involve a lot of knowledge. I mean, as for getting that sort of stuff to Darwin, I doubt it. You've got to have a sort of a knowledge skills base. I mean, you might be able to do simple assembly type stuff in Darwin, but I think for a place like Darwin, you need to be looking at some other sectors. So, you know, there's a place for a manufacturing sector if it's knowledge based, and I think there's you know, place things like Cochlear, for example, the ear device people and other companies like that. You know, they're very viable manufacturers that export a lot of stuff. But basically, most of the jobs in the future are going to be knowledge-based in the service sector rather than the manufacturing sector.
Well, talking about the service sector, a lot of service sector people are getting priced out of big cities like Sydney, like Melbourne. Might we see them moving more to regional centres?
Well, I mean, I think the lifestyle attractions of regional centres are pretty good, but the problem is, you know, where do the jobs come from? So that, I mean, there's some potential for people to work from home, you know, through you know, electronic communication and so forth, and they don't need to be in the big city so much, but there's a limit, I think, to the number of jobs that can be sort of created that way. So I think the problem is that you need to get the jobs out of these regional centres for people to be able to move there. And I think that to do that, you need to be going to the bigger centres where you can get a sort of bit of a base where there's a kind of a knowledge ecosystem can be built up. And it has to be really a pretty big centre for that to happen.
Do the drawbacks of the national broadband network play some role as well in stopping us from being able to spread out these hubs?
Well, I think some people will argue the opposite, actually, you know, that because you've got the NBN, if you've got fibre connections in the provincial cities, that you can actually sort of make a lot of work happen in those cities through using the NBN that doesn't have to be in the cities anymore. So, you know, there is an upside to that. So I think that for some of the larger regional centres, the NBN is actually probably a good thing in terms of getting jobs out there rather than some sort of negative.
Yeah, more just the big question over if. Just the question over if you have that fibre connection in a lot of places.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, a lot of places in Australia, of course, miss out on that, and therefore the kind of opportunity to participate in the knowledge sector, knowledge economy, is greatly reduced.
So indeed, are there any other solutions that the Australian government has looked at to address population density in some of our major cities, move some of these other people on?
Well, the density question is a state government matter, so they're forced to take a lot of population increase, and density is really sort of probably the most sustainable way to go. But in terms of the national government, they already sort of get GP, doctor, immigrants to go to regional areas for a certain period of time because there's a shortage of GPs out in country areas, and you could probably sort of extend that to other categories of skilled migrants as well. So the federal government's actually talking now about sort of requiring skilled migrants from a wider range to go to country areas. And I think you could actually also then widen that to a certain percentage to go to places like Adelaide and Canberra, which could sort of handle a lot of extra growth. So, you know, in Adelaide, for example, they could identify the skilled shortages and they could then get a sort of a certain segment of skilled migrants to go to Adelaide to fill those gaps. And that could be, you know, a condition of coming into Australia.
And just as a final point, I mean, certainly Australia, we're actually a very, very large and sunburnt country. We're not the only one that is dealing with this kind of influx of population. And yet, as you say, we're struggling with the infrastructure. We are struggling with some of the issues around density and the like. Is there any other countries you would say we should turn our eyes to that Australia can take as a bit of an example what we might be doing better?
That's pretty difficult because we've actually got a really high population increase. I mean, the country that's most like us in the rest of the world is Canada. Its population increase is not really quite as high as Australia, but still pretty significant. So, you know, places like Vancouver and Toronto are sort of equivalent to some of our big cities in terms of the problems they face and the growth rates and so forth. And they do planning. They do some of their aspects of planning better than us. Toronto, for example, stopped building motorways. They rely much more on a public transport system in central Toronto these days. So, you know, we could take a leaf out of that. Vancouver's tried high density development, and that's got pluses and minuses. It's enabled them to kind of save on agricultural land around Vancouver, but it's also created a lot of sort of pressures on the inner city of Vancouver in terms of forcing out creative industries that can't afford the rents and things like that.
Well, Glenn, thank you very much. Do appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
Yeah, okay, much appreciated for myself. Thanks, Blake.
That was